space to repent. It's a space to repent. Amen. From God's view, that's what time is. Amen. From the Christian's view, that's really what time is. Amen. The thing about time is you can't store it. You can't stop it. You can't change it. You can't even slow it down. Amen. Praise God. It has a mind of its own. God wound it up tight and let it go. And it's been flying ever since. Amen. But he's the master of time. He uses time for His convenience. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for being here tonight on this first day of 2012. Amen. So thank you for sharing this New Year's Day with us. And it's been a good day. Amen. It's well spent so far. And I pray we hadn't anybody messed up too bad yet. Amen. If you have, you've got 364 days to make it right before this year's over. Amen. Let's stand together. I would like to pray for my wife tonight. She's allergic to Indiana, I guess. She came home really feeling bad. And she has to try to start work in the morning. So if you would please, if you'd just take her to the throne of the Lord right now. We ask His blessing in this service. Just ask the Lord to touch her and heal her. Amen. Has He ever done that for you? You believe He'll do it for her? Let's ask Him to do it right now. Jesus, You specialize in miracles. And we really need the healing touch of the Lord tonight. I ask You to touch my wife with Your healing right now. God, that You would touch those lungs and give them clarity and help her to breathe well. Pray that You'll take away these other miserable symptoms. Amen. And go right to the heart of the problem and heal it with Your cure. Amen. Restore strength to her physical body and vitality. We ask it today in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus. We ask a blessing in this service tonight as we come to Your throne and in Your presence, fuss as we declare the word of the Lord. We thank You for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said amen. I want to read tonight from the book of John. The book of John, chapter number 9 and verse 4. The book of John, chapter 9 and verse number 4. Let me say it's good to see everybody, our brothers and sisters from Gun Barrel. Thank you for being here. Good to see y'all. Amen. Just everybody, good home folks, thank you for being here tonight. Amen. Principally, we give honor to Jesus Christ, because He's the reason that any of us are here. Amen. John chapter 9. Verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. He said, while it is day. T.E. Lawrence wrote Seven Pillars of Wisdom and said, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men. They may act out their dream with open eyes to make it possible. So I want to preach tonight on that phrase, dreamers of the day. There's a difference in just being a daydreamer and being a dreamer of the day. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Rarely are the dreams of the night life-changing, but dreams that endure the dazzling and the brutal light of the day often become visions and then realities. Amen. Dreamers by day are people that cause dreams and visions, and they follow them to fruition. And so I challenge us today that we would be not just dreamers in the night. I don't know how it works with you a lot, amen, but rarely do I even remember a dream from the night. Amen. But I can tell you my visions by the day. I can tell you what I see in the light. Amen. Those are things that I well remember and things that I really want to accomplish. God, I believe, does give dreams and visions to people because He wants us to accomplish things, even what we would term to be great things. God gives people visions of things that He desires. Prayer is not about trying to convince God to do what you want Him to do. But prayer, genuine prayer, is aligning your will with the will of God. And those are prayers that God will always answer. When we stay in prayer until God can condition our heart and our will and bend our minds and our vision to His own, then those prayers will become reality. That's what we mean when we talk about dreamers of the day. Amen. I used to preach a lot, and I suppose I still do from time to time, with my eyes closed. When I went to the first church that I pastored, there were just 16 people. And every time I would look out, I would see 16 people. Amen. And then I'd see a whole lot of empty pews. And so I got to a place where I wanted to just close my eyes, because when my eyes were closed, I didn't see 16 people. I could see a church full. I could see a parking lot running over. I could see an annex being built. Amen. And you know what? We realized that over a period of time. Amen. Hey, we need to be dreamers by day. Hallelujah. We need to be able to see what God sees and believe what God says about what He wants to do in the city of Athens, Texas. He's done some good things here, but He ain't finished yet. He's just getting started. Amen. Don't write our epitaph yet. Don't put it on our tombstone yet. Don't give up on us yet. I'm telling you tonight, we're dreamers of the day, and God is just getting started about what He wants to do in this city. Amen. He had a visit from His friends and brethren from Jerusalem. He asked, how are things going in Jerusalem now? Well, they had been back for Babylon for 90 years. And his brethren said, well, we finally got the temple finished. Took them 20 years just to build the temple. And then they started weeping. And they said, but the walls are still burned, and the gates are in ruins, In other words, they were saying, we have our temple, but we have no protection. We have no walls. Our enemies come against us at will. Well, that got into his heart. Now, I want you to know Nehemiah had a good job. He had one of the finest jobs that anybody could ever have. Even though he was a Hebrew living in Persia. I mean, he lived in the capital. And he worked for the king himself. And his job was so important that he was a confidant of the king. When he walked into the king's presence, it was as Jeremiah said, he said, my eye affects my heart. And he couldn't help but be saddened because of the news of his homeland, though most likely Nehemiah had never been there. But still, there's something about home. No matter how long you're away, there's just something about home. And so when he heard the news, the sad news, he was discouraged. He was affected. He was burdened. And the king noticed he was not his usual cheerful self. So he said, what's wrong, Nehemiah? And then he told him, he said, the city of my fathers is in ruins. The walls are burned. The gates have been destroyed. And he said, what would you have me to do? Now, it's a pretty good thing when the king offers like that. He didn't stutter. He said, well, the first thing I need you to do is get your checkbook. We need some finances. I never met a church yet that didn't need finances. Amen. If there's any of them kind of around, I had never met to one. And so, and we're always building something, aren't we? So he said, I need some finances. I need you to let me cut some trees and from your forest. And I need the materials to build. And then he said, I need some safe travel. I'm a long way from Jerusalem, and I wish that you would just write me a letter of authority so that I could pass through till I get there, that nobody would hinder me. Amen. Well, Nehemiah came to the city of Jerusalem, and he had a dream. He went out at night. Nobody would see him, and he surveyed all around the city, the fallen walls, shattered gates. And then he came back. He did not present his vision in the dark. He gave his vision in the day. And he called the elders together, and he said, all right, men. He said, it's time to rebuild the walls. Amen. You know, sometimes all God needs is somebody just to step in and do something. I want to tell you, Nehemiah was not a wall builder. That was not his trade. He was a cupbearer. His job was to taste the king's cup and see if it was poison or not. Well, that's a great job, but it just takes one cup to kill you. But it was a pretty important job as far as the king was concerned. If Nehemiah was still standing after he got through drinking, then the king would sit. Amen. But he didn't know anything about building walls. You don't have to know. All you've got to have is a dream. All you've got to have is a desire. All you've got to do is say, here am I, Lord! Send me! Amen. And so Nehemiah came, and he inspired people. Dreams are inspiring. Amen. People really want to see dreams. People want to realize things. People want to see great things done. When Nehemiah came, he did not try to coerce the people. He did not try to force the people. He did not bring a draft into being and draft people into it. He just told them what he wanted to do. And people said, all right, let's get started. Amen. Here's the beautiful thing. When he got started, the governor worked, and the priest worked, and the Levite worked, and the goldsmith worked, and the perfumer worked,
and the merchants worked, and the guys worked, and the gals worked, and the young worked, and the old worked, and everybody went to work. Amen. Well, almost everybody. Amen. People said, you know, these people, again, they didn't know anything about building walls. But you know what I've learned in my experience? You don't have to know what you're doing. You can learn. If I waited around to do something until I knew what I was doing, I would never have accomplished very much. Amen. But you just say, this is what we need to do. And then you start looking for ways to do it. And you can get it done. Amen. And I don't know how pretty the walls were. Amen. But they got them done. Amen. I'm not sure how professional all of it was, but they got it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we get hung up on things that we don't really need to get hung up on. Amen. Things that really are not all that important to us. Amen. And if we're not careful, we can begin to make excuses instead of taking opportunities to get the things done that we really need to do. Amen. So the Bible said, I love that portion. It said the people had a mind to work. When you get a group of people ready to work, I'm telling you, they're going to accomplish. You know what God said about that in the book of Genesis? I believe it's in the 11th chapter? Amen. Was it chapter 6? When he got to the Tower of Babel, and he told the people, he said, they have joined together in unity to build this tower. And God said, they will build it. Now, it was not a godly purpose. It was an anti-God purpose. But if people make up their mind to do something, they will do it. Amen. And so it's time for the people of God just to make up our mind that we're going to do something. You know what we need to do? We need to build a church. We need to build a church where broken hearts can be mended. We need to build a church where troubled minds can be set at rest. We need to build a church where people of every language and every color and every culture and every language can come and feel loved and feel welcome. We need to build a church where people can walk in with their dreams dashed and see them rise from ashes and become realities. We need to be a church that's full of grace and full of second chances, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of prayer, and full of praise, and full of worship. We need to build a church where there's preaching in the pulpit. We need to build a church where people give cheerfully and love unreservedly. We need to build a church where lives can be transformed, and marriages can put be back together, and dreams can be restored. We need to build a church, Brother Neil, where children can be saved. Did you know that 90% of Christian conversions happen when they are just children? 90%. You think we need a Sunday school? You think we need a Sunday school? You think we need a bus route? You think we need Sunday school workers? You think we need that today? A full 90% of people are converted to Christianity when they're children. We need a youth ministry, Brother Bacon. You know why we need a youth ministry? Most people that receive a calling from God for Christian service, whether it be a missionary or a preacher or a great saint and stalwart saint in the church, they receive those callings when they're children and when they're young people. You know when I received my calling? I was a teenager. That's when most people get their direction. We need a church that focuses on men. One study said that if a teen is saved, he'll reach 19% of his family. It said if a woman is saved, she'll reach 32% of her family. But if a man is saved, he will reach 82% of his family. We need some men to be saved. We need a men's ministry. We need a men's ministry. We need a men's ministry. Amen. And yes, we need ladies' ministry. Amen. Thank God for the ladies of the church. Amen. That get so much done. Amen. When the pastor can't inspire you, your wife can. When your pastor can't convince you, your wife can. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said that we got to be careful how we treat our wives, lest our prayers be hindered. Yeah. That's what the scripture said. If you're having a problem getting your prayers answered, you might want to check on your relationship. Amen. See how you've been treating your wife, Brother Fry. I'm sorry. Brother Fry just told me today what his New Year's resolution was. His New Year's resolution was to keep aggravating his wife just like he's been doing for the last 37 years. Amen. I know he can take it. That's the reason we dish it out here. Amen. Praise God. But thank God for the ladies of the church. Amen. And the great energy and the great beauty that they provide. Amen. You know what? It's time for everybody to find a place. For everybody to get busy. Amen. If you're not busy, you need to be. There's a place for you to get in, get connected, and get busy. You know what I've noticed about busy people? They're not busy bodies. Busy bodies and disgruntled people are people that are not busy. They're on the fringes. They're just observers. They just watch everything. Amen. Not involved and busy and pushing forward and they haven't bought into it. You know how much free advice is worth? About what you pay for it. I've noticed that people generally, if you give them advice they don't pay for, doesn't do much good. But if they pay $125 an hour, they'll listen. Amen. And people that are plugged into the church and supporting the church and giving themselves to the church, those are the happy people. Amen. Those are the ones that are singing. Those are the ones excited. Those are the dreamers by day. They've bought into the vision. They're saying, yes, we can get it done. Amen. It's important that we buy into the vision. Amen. Well, if you have a dream, I can promise you one thing. You're going to have some opposition. You can talk to Joseph about that. Joseph thought everybody would be as excited as he was about his dreams. Nearly got him killed, didn't it? But for the mercies of God, it would have. Amen. Hey, you're gonna have some opposition if you dream. And especially if you dream in the day. The Bible says that Nehemiah, he had opposition from the east, the Ammonites. He had opposition from the west, the Ashdodites. He had opposition from the south. That was the Arabs. He had opposition from every direction, but from above. Yeah, as long as you're not getting opposition from there, you're okay. But the Bible says, that, you know what the scripture said? It said God resists the proud. So if you get opposition from heaven, your goose is cooked.
you might as well hang it up. It's not going to work. When God opposes you, failure is certain. Amen. But it doesn't matter if you're opposed on every side. Amen. As long as you have the support of heaven. Amen. Everything's going to be all right because God will enable you and empower you, and He will bless you and He will make it possible. Amen. Well, but let me say tonight, the greatest enemies of the church are not those without. The greatest enemies of the church are those that are within. There's a principle I'm not sure I understand, but I know it works. I've tried this. Have you ever placed a piece of metal on water and just let go of what happens? Blub, 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 it hits the bottom. And yet, you can make this mighty big ship that weighs tons and tons and megatons, and it floats. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can make it out of steel, and it floats. What's the difference? It has enough displacement on the inside that it can withstand all the pressure from the outside. And that pressure just holds it up. But you know what happens if a ship gets a leak on the inside? As long as it's sailing and the water's on the outside, it does not matter how deep it gets. It does not matter how rough it gets. It does not matter how the waves rage and foam. That does not matter. The only way that you'll ever sink the ship is if the water on the outside gets on the inside. Hear me today. This church will never be destroyed from the outside. The only way that a church can be hindered is from the inside. And that's what Nehemiah ran into. He had some internal problems. First of all, there was apathy. You know what apathy is? Whatever. Whatever. I'm preaching and all fired up with whatever, brother. We're going to have Brown Bag Bible College starting on Thursday. Whatever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Marshall's getting all geared up for outreach. Well, whatever. We're going to have revival. Well, whatever. It's apathy. You get too much apathy in a church, there's not much you can do. There was a man by the name of, or a group of people called the Tekoites. And they were influential people. They were the nobles, the Bible says. They were wealthy folks. And whenever Nehemiah got all excited about building the walls, they said, "We're not going to help." And let me just say, if you don't help, you are a hindrance. If you are a hindrance, if you don't help. One thing that we really don't need a whole lot of is observers. Praise the Lord. You know, I just be honest, I don't like to watch people work. If there's something going on, I want to be part of it. Amen. I don't like watching. That's why I'm not a sports fan. I'm not trying to offend anybody here. Amen. If that's what you like, have at it. If somebody's going to hit a ball, I want to hit it. Somebody's going to kick it or throw it, I want to kick it or throw it. Amen. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why I'm a preacher tonight. If it's got nobody be hollering in church, I want to holler. I don't want to sit there and watch somebody else do it. No, that's not altogether true.
Amen. Praise God. I like to be involved in stuff. I want to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like to be involved in things. Apathy is something it puzzles me. Puzzles me. You know, I know they're not afraid of work, because I've watched them lay right down beside it and go to sleep, so they couldn't be afraid of it. But they sure didn't want to get much involved in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't need apathy in the church, but we'll always have some. But you just need to make up your mind that you're not going to be the source. Praise the Lord. Now I understand, as we get older, our energies drop and our physical abilities are not the same. I understand that. Amen. But I think sometimes elders don't realize how important they are. Amen. You're seasoned. You've fought battles. You've won some wars. Amen. You have some scars. Just your simple stepping on the field causes encouragement to rise. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just your presence means a lot. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I've been in churches that were brand new, and everybody in the church was brand new, and boy, they were having revival, but there was something that was missing because they didn't have any elders. Amen. Elders are important. We always need elders. You're vital. Don't ever underappreciate or undervalue how valuable you are. Your prayers and your presence and your worship adds a dimension that nothing else can add to a church. And then the next thing you had a problem with was anger. Amen. There was a guy by the name of Sanballat. What a name. No wonder he's mad. His name meant enemy in secret. What a name. Somebody pin a moniker like that on you when you're a kid and can't do anything about it. He's probably mad his whole life. But when he heard that Nehemiah was going to rebuild the walls, the Bible said he got angry. He was influential. He had an inroad with the king, Artaxerxes. He was angry. Amen. And you know, we have to deal sometimes with anger in the church. The anger usually results in an emotion of somebody that feels threatened. And that's where a lot of anger comes from. People feel threatened. They're comfortable the way things are. And then things start getting stirred up. And they're not comfortable anymore. And they feel threatened because their comfort zone. Amen. You know, we can rest when we get to heaven. Praise God. So then we need to keep things stirred up. Praise God. Have you ever tried to push a car that was just sitting still? It's hard to do. You got to get with it if you're going to get it going. But you know what? Once you get it going, it's not hard to keep it going. Amen. There's that inertia. Amen. And that the church never needs to stop. Once we ever stop, it's hard to get it going again. But if we keep it going and don't let it stop, amen, and keep pushing, and everybody puts their shoulder to the wheel, and it goes faster, and it gets stronger, and its motion is more powerful. Amen. I mentioned the other night in a different context. Amen. But you know what? That old Amazon River in South America, it makes its way eastward across the country. And by the time it trickles down from the mountains and little streams join bigger streams until finally they form the river. And by the time you get to the mouth of the Amazon River, it pushes more than 150 miles out into the salt water. 100 miles from shore, you can still drink the water. That's how powerful it is. Amen. That's what we need to keep in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. We had a little lady in the church in Midland. She went to the doctor one time, and the doctor measured her and said, you told her how tall she was, and she got upset. She said, I've always been. Well, I guess not. She just thought she was. Amen. But we need to get that same kind of attitude. I might look a little, but I'm not. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like a little boy sitting in the corner, his mama said, son, amen, are you sitting down? He said, yes, ma'am, on the inside, on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Just don't let this thing stop you. Amen. Even when it feels like you're overcoming inertia, even though it feels like you're imprisoned on the outside, don't get imprisoned on the inside. Hallelujah. Keep that inside standing tall and reaching and dreaming and planning. Amen. He had to deal with anger. He had to deal with fear. You do anything for God, you're going to deal with fear. Fear is always going to raise its ugly head. Amen. You're going to have to deal with it. Tobiah, another man of influence, said, we're going to call for the armies and they're going to kill every last one of you. You know what they had to do? Because of fear. Tell you what, it didn't stop them. Nehemiah didn't say, well, we ought to quit now. Amen. Because we're scared of the army. No, sir. He said, here's what we're going to do. He said, half of you are going to work on the wall. And while you're working, you have your sword strapped on. And he said, the other half of you, you guard these while they work. Amen. Some of you are guardians and some of you are workers. Amen. How do I guard, brother? You guard by your prayers. Hallelujah. You guard by being sensitive to the Holy Ghost, that at any time of the day or the night, the Lord can speak to you and put a burden in your heart and know that you're going to pray and touch heaven and things are going to be changed because of your prayer and your protection. Amen. So that's how they built the wall, folks. Some of them guarded, some of them worked. But the Bible said they didn't stop. Ha! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! They went ahead and did it anyhow. I admire people that don't let opposition stop them. You need to expect it because you're going to have it. The Apostle Paul said, I fought beasts at Ephesus. Now, he wasn't talking about lions and tigers. He was talking about spiritual warfare. But you know what Paul learned by that time? When Paul walked into a city and he had a whole lot of opposition, his spiritual antennas went up. Because you know one thing about warfare, if you've got a place that is strategic, if you're a wise army and a wise leader, you're going to guard that position. Because that's strategic. If that area falls, then it's going to affect the whole region. So Paul understood when he walked into a city and he felt opposition, he said, this place is strategic. Did you know that from a Bible school in Ephesus, Paul preached the gospel to all of Asia? He didn't know that maybe at first, but he picked that up. He said, now there's something here. Hallelujah. Praise God. He understood this is something worth fighting for. Praise God. Amen. You need to understand that in your life and your spiritual warfare. Amen. This is worth fighting for, folks. You understand that tonight. God called you to be a warrior. Songwriter, what was it he said? He said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. Amen. God didn't call us to sit around and play spiritual ping pong. Amen. He put a sword in your hand. He put a shield in your hand. He gave you a helmet. He gave you a breastplate. He said he shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He called you to war. Amen. That's what we're called to here tonight. Going to have some opposition. But you know what? The Bible said in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 6, it said, so they built the wall. Everybody say, they built the wall. They built the wall. Hallelujah. That's what mattered most, is they built the wall. 52 days. They had been back in Jerusalem for 90 years. And all it took was a dreamer by day. And in 52 days, they did what they had not done for 90 years. All it took was somebody that had a dream. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me just do a little spiritual analogy here. You know, gates are government. Amen. You need to govern your life. Government is what allows some things in and keeps other things out. Walls keep everything out. Amen. We need character in our lives. That'll just keep everything out. But we need some gates that let some things in. Amen. So you've got to have that kind of structure. Have you ever, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or even smile, but if you've ever known somebody that they were so wishy-washy, they would say one thing and do another. Amen. And they have no stability in their lives. They had a desire, it seemed. They wanted to do something for God, and they said they were going to do something for God, but they never could. You know why? They never built some walls. They didn't have character. Their lives are ruled by emotion and by feelings. And if you're ruled by your feelings, you'll be up and down like a roller coaster. Amen. Your life will be just like this. You'll come to church, my, you'll be feeling so good. How, my, what a service that was. And by Tuesday, you're so far down, you got to dig a hole to look up. Because you're ruled by your feelings, by your emotions. And when the devil learns that, he puts you on a wild ride. Amen. But you got to build some walls. You got to get some convictions in your life. You got to make a stand against some things. And you got to make a stand for some things. You got to make up your mind, hey, I'm not going to be off and on Christian. Amen. If it's a Sunday morning, I'm going to be. If it's Sunday night, I'm going to be there. If it's Wednesday night, I'm going to be there. If it's revival, I'm going to be there. If it's church cleaning, I'm going to be there. Whatever's going on, I'm going to be there. And you make that decision and you stick to it. And it puts character in your life. And stability in your life. Amen. And then from there, you build some gates so you can let some things in. You can keep some things out. Amen. And so building walls and building gates is vital for the Christian life. It's not something we can avoid, but it's something that we must do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dreams have to be protected. Dreams are perishable. They do have a shelf life. They can get stale. If they're not performed by a certain date, sometimes
they lose their validity. Amen. Dreams need protecting. Amen. Praise God. We have to start dreaming at daybreak and dream all day long. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Get determined. Get determined. Somebody wrote a song years ago, said, when you see me coming, I got him on my mind. I've got Jesus. Got him on my mind. Amen. When you see me singing, I got him on my mind. When you see me praying, I got him on my mind. Whatever I'm doing, I got Jesus on my mind. You see, that's when you're just consumed with it. That's how you stay in the spirit of prayer. Amen. And you don't have to get all geared up to pray. You're ready to pray at the drop of a hat, and you'll drop the hat. Amen. Because you're just in tune. Don't you love people like that? I mean, they're in tune. Amen. They're never out of tune. I mean, they're ready. Hallelujah. And, as a matter of fact, I love this about some of my great elders I used to hang around with, and some of it rubbed off. But they'd be over there, and they'd be sitting driving down the road, and we wouldn't be talking, and all of a sudden I'd hear Brother Mac, and I'd go, hey. Amen. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was just making sure he was tuned in. Praise the Lord. Be over here laying a brick. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wasn't because he's laying a brick. He's just making sure he's tuned in. Amen. Making sure he's tuned in. Praise the Lord. Amen. So a dreamer's locked in. It don't take much. If you want to get him started, you want to turn his crank, you just start talking about the dream. He's not real interested in a lot of other stuff. Amen. He'll put up with some things to be sociable. If you want to turn the crank, just get him started talking about the dream. About what he's living for. About why he's here. Amen. I don't know where Barna gets all of his information, but according to George Barna Research Foundation, they did a study of Christians. All kinds of Christians. These are not just apostolic. These are all kinds of Christians. But, you know, just the general stuff. And according to the survey, 31% of Christians say they're stressed out. I don't think Christians ought to be stressed out. The Bible said this is the rest wherewith the weary are caused to rest. And this is the refreshing. Even there is a place you can be refreshed. And we call it the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do we still use that old Pentecostal jargon, pray through? Anybody know what that word means, pray through? You know what that word means? It means exactly what it says. Whatever's bugging you, pray through. Amen. Pray till you get through it. Pray until the joy of the Lord reigns. Pray till there's peace. Pray till there's power. Pray till there's victory. Amen. 31% said they're stressed out. 49% said they're too busy. 50% said they need some new friends. Well, maybe they just need to learn how to be a good friend. A faithful friend. Oh boy. 40% said we're too far in debt. Life Skills University is going to help you with that. 11% said they're dealing with addiction. 48% said they're searching for purpose. 55% are just skeptical about the whole thing. Amen. I hope that doesn't reflect us, and I don't believe that it does. But it concerns me that it would reflect any Christian church. Amen. But that's what happens
when you lose your dream. If you don't have something to energize you, you know what? You know where energy comes from? It comes from purpose. It comes from purpose. You know what? I've watched families be energized by a baby. I've watched things get, the focus change. It was on cars and houses, and all of a sudden a little baby was conceived. And then it was about baby beds and blankets, and pink and blue, and names. And that was before it even got here. And then when it got here, boy, it really changed. It's like you could tell he was a new daddy, because he walked out of the hospital and said, "What time shall we wake the baby?" Yeah. You don't have to worry about that. My question was, where's the volume control? Maybe an off button every now and then. But God in His wisdom didn't make them with such. But it'll change your life, because it'll give you some purpose. Let me tell you what happens if a church goes too long without some babies. It loses its purpose, and it begins to turn inward, and it starts having problems because people begin to focus on themselves instead of on the outside. The church has one mission, and that is to preach the gospel to the whole world. That is our mission. Yes, we have social activities, but we're not a social club. Yes, we do a lot of teaching, but we're not an educational facility. Our only job and purpose is to reach the lost of Athens, Texas, and all around and around the world. That is our mission, and that is our purpose. That's what God called us to do. And we've got to do it. Don't ever forget. That's what we're here for. There was a group of pilgrims. They crossed 3,000 miles across a trackless ocean, through heartache and heartbreak and trouble and every kind of trial. They landed, and within a year they had established a little city. 2 years, they established a government. The third year, the government said, "Let's start building a road toward the west. Let's get our vision out there. Let's build a road. Let's start with 5 miles toward the west." And in the fourth year, the people said, "No, we will not do it." What happened? They got content. And the same people that would journey 3,000 miles on a whim and desire, hope, wouldn't even build a road 5 miles for the new vision. But we can't allow that to happen, folks. We can't get too content with where we are. We've got to keep reaching out. This is a brand new year, 2012. And God sure did some good stuff last year. But I'm not content. Amen. I'm not content. We baptized a good number of people last year. We had a good number of folks get the Holy Ghost last year. I'm not content. It's been too long. It's been too long. Amen. Praise God, it's time for us to get a new vision for 2012. Amen. 2012. I know a pastor that he challenged the church. He said, "I just my goal," he said, "for this year is if we can just add and baptize just at least one new person or one new family every month." It's not very much, is it? Just one every month. And you know what? It wasn't long and they did that. And then he said, "Well, we got that done." He said, "Now, what about if we just add one new soul every week?" And it took a while, but they did that. And you see, that you got to have something to shoot for. Is anybody here tonight, just close your eyes for a moment, would you? Could anybody here tonight visualize somebody that you know they need to be here? Can you see somebody and you really feel like you could get them to come? You see their face. You could call their name. Can you see that tonight? I want that to be your focus. Amen. I want that to be something that you begin to strive for. It's just that one. Amen. You know, Jesus talked about reaching the whole world, but then he turned around and he started doing it one by one. One by one. You see, we can get so focused on the big picture that we lose the individual. So I'm asking us tonight just to focus on that one. Let's stand together. Amen. And I want us to pray right now for that individual. Amen. Would you do that? Somebody wrote a song years ago. Said, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. May I ever do my part to win that soul." Amen. So tonight, let's just right now, let's take that person, that family, that individual, let's take them to the throne. Lord Jesus, tonight, thank you for my friend. They're precious to me. I love them. And they love me. Jesus, I'm asking you tonight, make a way, open a door. Give me courage, give me wisdom, provide the faith and the opportunity that I'll be able to bring that soul to you. Amen. Just that one. Amen. Oh, I want there to be another, 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 another. Right now, I just want to focus on this one. Amen. Just focus on this one. Amen. Oh Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to lower it a little bit. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me, and may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul
through me and may I ever do my part to win that soul for me. Amen. Praise God. That's a worthy prayer tonight. That's a worthy prayer. Amen. We got a lot of things we're going to be doing, but all of it is for one reason. It's to help us to be a better soul winning church. It's to help us to be a better mother when the Lord places some in the womb and in the bosom of this church. Amen. He not only wants us to birth them, He wants us to take care of them. He wants us to disciple them and protect them and feed them and nurture them and equip them for their very own ministry. Amen. That's what the dream's all about tonight, folks. Amen. We need to be dreamers of the day. Amen. I suppose almost everybody dreams at night. Amen. But that's not where it is. It's not just the night. We've got to be dreamers of the day. You can see it in the daytime. You can see it in the show. Amen. Brother Marshall is our outreach director, and he's given you an invitation that you can give to that person, amen, that you saw when you closed your eyes a moment ago. Amen. Just a very special invitation. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to try our best here to be the kind of church that you'd not have to be embarrassed for somebody to come to. Amen. We try our best not to be offensive, and yet we do maintain truth. Amen. I really don't believe that godly preaching scares people, at least not hungry people. Amen. It draws them. Praise God. Amen. Lively worship. Oh, they may think you're crazy, but they're used to seeing wild stuff, just not in church. But you know what? I've watched them. They kind of like it. I've watched first-time visitors come, and they look, you know, and they're kind of like, what's going on? In a little while, they start clapping. And sometimes they'll raise their hands. Amen. And they'll begin to get into it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's be dreamers. Dreamers by day. Praise the Lord. I think it would be great if we would conclude this service tonight with just a dedication. Amen. I'm not asking you for a lengthy altar service unless that's what you want to do, but I would invite you to come and just lift up your hands to the Lord one more time and say, Jesus, I know this is a brand new year, and I really want to be used of God this year. I've heard all these reasons that Christians are not involved, but I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to get so stressed out that I can't be a soul winner. I don't want to get too busy to be a soul winner. Amen. I don't want to get too self-focused to be a soul winner. Amen. I don't want to get too comfortable to be a soul winner. I don't want to get too important. Be a soul. Amen. I just want to win somebody to you. Amen. Praise God. When this time rolls around next year, amen. I want them standing here with me, beside me, in this sanctuary. I want to hear their voice lifted, see their hands lifted. Amen. Hear them worshiping and praising God.
Everybody can be a soul winner tonight. Men and women, boys and girls, everybody can be a soul winner. You're never too young. You're never too old. Praise the Lord. Everybody can be a soul winner. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm here tonight. My purpose is one more time to put myself on the altar and consecrate and dedicate my life fresh and new to the service of Jesus Christ. I know there'll be opposition. I'll face anger and anxiety and apathy. Lord Jesus, I'm going to stay in the forefront. I'm going to have one hand full of a rock and the other hand on my sword. Nothing's going to stop me. Amen. I'm determined. My mind's made up. Praise the Lord. The rapture is too near. Amen. The coming of the Lord is too soon. Revival is our heritage. And it's our promise. Amen. And God, we're rising up today to accept that. Hallelujah. We're rising up today because we want to buy into your vision and your promise and your mission. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, of all the jobs in the church, there's nothing more valuable or important than the soul winner. Hallelujah. Amen. Those that give birth to new souls. Praise God. The cry of babes is heard throughout the congregation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me be a soul winner, Jesus. Yeah, I don't mind being a preacher, but I want to be a soul winner. I like being a Sunday school teacher, but I want to be a soul winner. I enjoy singing and being a musician, but I want to be a soul winner. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The very best thing that you can do with yourself is to give it to Jesus. Amen. If you don't give yourself to the Lord, you're going to have a lot of problems with self. I promise you that. Amen. Self
will never be satisfied until you give it to the Lord. It's the only way self can be satisfied. It's the only way your potential can be reached, your dreams can be realized. Just give it to the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Thank you tonight. Beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord here. Amen. Let's go and serve. Amen. I was in a church one time, and over the door, as you were leaving the church, there was a big sign that said, "You are entering the mission field." Amen. When you walk out that door right there, you're entering the mission field. It's not Colombia or Ecuador, Venezuela, Spain, but you're entering the mission field. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's let this be the greatest year we've ever had. Amen. I believe that God wants it to be so. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I give myself, I give myself.